Let's all turn, please, to the book of Romans and the chapter 15. And we want to read a portion and look at it for a time here tonight, short time, just to have our minds focused on what the Bible would say to us about missionary work, because we have a passage here that, among many others, certainly does this. So Romans 15, and we're going to read from verse 15 of the chapter, Romans 15, verse 15. And it says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Now, we are aware that the Apostle Paul was a man of many God-given talents, a man who exercised many strands of ministry. He was a preacher, he was a pastor, he was a writer of scripture, he was a theologian, he was a defender of Christ and the gospel, and we could keep on enumerating many of the ministries that this man exercised. But in a real sense, Paul's most outstanding element of ministry was his labors as a missionary. That's a point that is fully presented and proved in the book of Acts and also in his own writings. Now, this portion that I've read with you tonight in Romans 15 gives us a clear insight into something of the labors of Paul as a missionary for the sake of Jesus Christ. It is therefore a very profitable passage of Scripture to consider when we dwell and focus upon missionary endeavor, as we are doing tonight, and we will have presented to us by our brother Alistair. And so I want to draw your attention to this passage just for a little time here. And from these verses, I want to highlight a number of points in relation to Paul's ministry as a missionary of Jesus Christ. And we'll sum up those points in the following way. First of all, it was a priestly ministry. Now, you might wonder, where are you going with this, trying to tell us that Paul was a priest? Well, I wanted to show you that he actually was, in a certain sense, and there was a priestly ministry exercised by him in his missionary work. So look at verse number 14, verse number 15, and he says there, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." So he's saying to these Roman believers, "I want you to understand the ministry that God has given to me. I want to put you in mind of this." And then he says in 16, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." And you will know that Paul's great calling was as the apostle to the Gentiles. It doesn't mean he didn't preach to Jews, but primarily he went to the Gentile world. And then the end of verse 16, "that the offering up," notice that "the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." And it's in those words that you see reference made to his priestly ministry as a missionary. Now, we all know that every Christian is described in the New Testament as a priest unto God, and we have various verses that make that absolutely clear. And that, of course, is the only priesthood, apart from Christ, of course, But among men on earth, it's the priesthood of the Lord's people. That's the only priesthood that is recognized in the New Testament. We have Christ, the great high priest, who was on the earth, who finished his work, who went back to heaven, and there he ministers still as our great high priest. And then he has a priesthood whom he leaves on this earth, namely his own people, his church. They are a holy nation. They are a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. We've been made kings and priests unto God. And so the Lord's people are a priesthood who are serving unto Christ, and they are also serving with Christ in the sanctuary of his church as he tabernacles with us and he blesses us and he leads us along. We are a priesthood serving the living God. And believers are, of course, not literal priests. They don't offer up blood sacrifices, but rather they offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we know that from, again, from 1 Peter chapter 2. And you're familiar with those terms. Now, it's of this that Peter actually speaks here in verse 16. In verse 16, he says that he was a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And then he goes on to say that the offering up, here's the spiritual sacrifice that we need to focus on just now, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Notice those words, the offering up of the Gentiles. That's a sacrifice. That's the sense of the language. But it's a spiritual sacrifice. And of course, as I just said, those are the sacrifices that all believers are to bring to God. Our sacrifice of praise, we've just been singing, our sacrifice of prayer, and so on, and our sacrifice of giving, our tithes and our offerings, and we could keep on going. But here's a sacrifice that is spiritual in nature. Now, the word for minister in verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ, that word in the original language is the word that gives us the English term liturgy. And you may know that in certain churches, they follow a liturgy, and in a sense, there's nothing wrong with a liturgy, as long as it's in keeping with the Bible. It's a system of worship where there's a particular rota or role followed in the worship service. And the word for liturgy comes straight out of the New Testament, and it's the word that's translated at minister here in this 16th verse. And so Paul refers to himself under that word. That word's actually found in Hebrews 10:11, where it refers to the priests of the temple in Jerusalem, the temple still standing in Paul's day, and those priests were there ministering. It's the same word. But here in Romans 15, it's obviously used of a spiritual sacrifice. Paul did not put the Gentiles to death and offer them up to God when he talks here about the offering up of the Gentiles. But rather, what he's talking about is he won them to Christ. And as he won them to Jesus Christ under his ministry, he then brought them before the Lord. And of course, he'd have done that in various ways, praying for them and teaching them and instructing them. But he was acting actually as a priest on their behalf, in that spiritual sense, praying for them, as I say, and leading them along as he saw those churches established and the people of God firmly confirmed in the faith of the saints and in the things of God. Notice how it goes on to say there in the end of verse 16, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, that's the people. And so here's a sacrifice that is lifted up to God by Paul. These people who are saved under his ministry, they're brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're a spiritual offering that's presented to God, and they're also sanctified by the Holy Ghost. These Gentiles, that's who he's talking about, saved from sin, drawn by the Spirit of God to Jesus Christ, and set apart for his glory and for his honor. A people set apart to live for Christ, to serve Christ, and to form churches throughout the world of that day where Paul went on all his wonderful missionary journeys. That's what we call the indigenous churches in missionary terms. Those who live in a certain land and they're saved and they become the Lord's. They're offered up to Him. They're now His people. They're no longer the world's people. They're no longer the devil's people. They've been translated. They're changed. They're new creatures. They're now the Lord's. They've been brought to Him, offered up to Him as His people. He puts His hand on them. He keeps them and He preserves them and He forms it into churches in His great work as the head of the church through the labors of His servants, our missionaries in different places. And what we have here is an interesting thing, because what you're really looking at here is the fruit of the death of Jesus Christ. Every time a missionary goes forth and he or she sees people saved and a church born and a work done, that's the fruit of the death of Christ. Those people were bought by His blood. Those people are drawn to know Him, indwelt by His Spirit. And therefore, they are the very fruit of the death of Jesus Christ. See it that way. See it about yourselves, for example. You're the fruit of the death of Christ. You are the product of His suffering. And therefore, when you're saved, you're brought as a spiritual sacrifice, and you're offered up unto God as a living sacrifice to serve Him and to do as well, as I've already said. And so, this is a priestly ministry, this ministry of the Apostle Paul. And that's the kind of ministry that our missionaries in the foreign field are doing. And you see, this is a foreign field that Paul's talking about. The Gentile world, the people of the nations, all of those missionary journeys, the three great journeys, other journeys as well that we read about in Acts and in his own writings. Oh, this is a grand ministry. And Paul's ministry is what he's talking about here. It is a priestly ministry. It's a prosperous ministry. As you look again quickly at a few of these verses, verses 17 through to 19. Because in them, Paul shows that as God had appointed him to be an apostle and a minister of the gospel, so he had blessed the apostle. He had blessed his ministry. Look at verse 17. He says, I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. And the word glory is that same word as you have in Galatians 6. God forbid that I should glory, save on the cross of Christ. But you see, the word glory actually means to boast. And there's one thing that we are able to boast about, glory in. And that, of course, is first of all the Lord Himself and the work of the cross and so on. But here's another example. When God works and God prospers the ministry of missionaries and blesses them, this is something in which we can glory. And notice how that verse finishes, verse 17. In those things which pertain to God. Oh, Paul's not saying that he glories or he boasts in his own labors or in his great abilities or whatever you care to mention that he had as a missionary, that he exercises a ministry, but in the things that pertain to God. And you see, brethren and sisters, you could not glory enough in the things that pertain to God. You could not go over a line when you glory, when you boast in what God does when He prospers the ministry of His servants. Look at verse 18. He says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And so notice those opening words there in verse 18. Paul says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought in me. What is he saying there? He's saying there that I don't have to appeal to some other man's ministry. Now, there were other men ministering and doing good work, undoubtedly, in the nations of the earth. Other men, other apostles had gone here, there, and yonder. But Paul's saying here, I want you to think about what the Lord has done in my ministry. He's prospered my ministry. And he's saying here that he does not appeal to what God did elsewhere. He wants the Romans to understand and to see, and we need to see it tonight, that the Lord does prosper the ministry of those who go forth to serve Him. And every true missionary, every true servant of Jesus Christ is going to be prospered by the Lord. And it's a good thing, you know, when that happens. And there may be people who will maybe try to steal sheep or take the credit for some other man's ministry or his labors. And we should never do that. Paul's saying that here. We don't do that. We want to be blessed ourselves. We want to be prospered by God individually. You should desire that. Now, the Lord will bless you and prosper your witness and testimony in this world here in Ballymena or around this district or wherever the Lord uses you. We're not looking at what God's doing with other people. We're thinking about what He's doing in our own missionary endeavor. And so we have a mission board, we have a missionary council, and they were mentioned in prayer, and we need to pray for those bodies very much because they do a vital work, a very important work. They are at the forefront. They know all the needs. They know all the details. They know the difficulties and the challenges, and you need to pray for them. But what you need to remember is they need to be prospered by God, and so do our missionaries. Look at verse 19. He says, going on to speak of how God had prospered him, through mighty signs and wonders, and here's the secret of it, by the power of the Spirit of God. That's why Paul had a prosperous ministry. It was by the power of the Spirit of God. And he mentions where he had preached, from Jerusalem and round about on to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul is not boasting here. He's telling the Romans what God did through him. In this priestly ministry, in this prosperous ministry. But may I bring you to a close tonight by showing you that he also speaks here, or writes here, of a pioneering ministry. Verse 20, he says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. That is a pioneering ministry. Paul, as a missionary, went to places where no one had ever preached the gospel before. And we know that from Acts again. He went into the heart of heathenism. Now, I know that there were Jews in those areas, and he always went to the Jews, but with regard to the main bulk of his ministry, the main emphasis of his ministry, it was to the Gentiles that Paul went. Nobody had been there before. Nobody ever preached the gospel to those people before. Paul loved that. That's what he's really saying in verse 20. He says, so have I strived. That's what he loved. That's what he lived for. This is what he cherished, to be able to preach to people who had never heard the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he took the gospel, therefore, to the world of his day where the Lord was not known. And, of course, he was therefore pioneering. And he could write then to some of these people, as he did to the Corinthians, for example. And he said to the Corinthians, as you find in 1 Corinthians 9, the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Or 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, to the Corinthians again, remember who were heathen to the hilt, an awful city, Corinth. And yet God did a marvelous work there. And in those verses, he refers to those believers in Corinth as living epistles. What a wonderful thing when God takes a missionary to a people who have never heard the gospel before, and he makes them the seal of that man or that woman's labor, and he makes them living epistles. And thank God this is still happening in the world. And you know it will happen until the very end, because the Lord has said that all nations will hear the gospel before he comes. And therefore, there will be people across the face of the earth until the Lord returns who will be of the same category as Paul describes here, who will have been brought to Christ as the result of a pioneering ministry. And you need to pray that in the will of God this will happen, because the Lord has revealed that it will happen. And so when the Lord reveals that, it's not for us to sit back and do nothing. It's for us to pray, Lord, there's a nation, and they're unreached. There's a tribe. They've never heard the name of Christ, never in their history. But Lord, send someone there. send someone to bring the gospel and be a pioneer, a pioneering ministry. And who knows what will happen? You think of some of our missionaries like Bill Woods and Victor Maxwell, who went down into the Amazon and went to tribes who had never heard the word before and saw great things done there in years gone by. And we long to see that happening again and again, that the Lord will take young people from our churches, maybe somebody here tonight, and make you a pioneering ministry, a missionary, going somewhere that's unreached. And that, of course, is not easy. Nowhere is easy. But in many ways, you know, a pioneering ministry is a precious thing. When you go to people who have already heard the gospel, and maybe Christianity is in that nation, you can sometimes inherit all kinds of problems that have come. But when you go to rank heathenism and God begins to work, it's fresh, it's new, and it's a wonderful scene of ministry. So I leave this with you tonight. I'm not sure whether what all Alistair's going to show us, but he's going to do that now, and I trust the Lord will bless him, and that through the word our hearts will be encouraged. Let's just have a wee word of prayer, and then our brother will come and minister to us. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word that we have considered and what it shows us, and we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt bless it to our hearts and move our souls to see what thy word has to say about these issues. And O Lord, we long and pray that in our day and time thou wilt use every one of us to be priests unto God and to prosper under thy hand and to even be pioneers going to a soul that has never heard the truth. And Lord, there are people like that in our own nation now in darkness. O God, take us to them. Bless our brother now as he presents this whole display to us now of the work of our missionaries. And may our hearts be thrilled. May our souls be touched as we wait on God. For we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.